Hi there, I'm Tom Schultz, host of Voices of Montana, an issue-oriented newsmaker radio program heard weekdays on 18 radio stations with 27 signals all across the Treasure State. Thanks for clicking on the podcast. Please subscribe and we'll do our best to keep you connected. We're also on Facebook at Voices of Montana and on the internet at voicesofmontana.com, where I'd love to hear from you. Contact me at tom@voicesofmontana.com. We have journalist and nonstop local political analyst Mike Dennison here to join us today. It's going to be an election take on some of the major races in Montana, some of the legislative races, I think, that are interesting that could be going under the radar, the significance in the two open seats on the Montana Supreme Court. So we're talking inside politics from the author of Inside Montana Politics, Mike Dennison. And also a bit later on, we'll hear from Avery Sorensen from Malta, one of the lead organizers for this weekend's Cruise on Main 2024. You know, it's a tradition that's grown up there in other places, too, since the pandemic. And I think it still represents our community's need to get through the tough times together. That's what we have today on Voices of Montana. Oh, this election, you got the primary upcoming on Tuesday, and of course the general election in November. Mike Dennison, he's a political analyst now for Nonstop Local as well, author of Inside Montana Politics, longtime journalist in Montana, probably knows more Montana politics than, well, Mike, who out there knows more about Montana politics than you?
Well, I'm sure there's some consultants and old hands out there who are much more knowledgeable than me about the ins and outs of campaigns. But so I wouldn't claim that knowledge. But in terms of looking at kind of the big picture, I don't know. There's some good reporters out there.
Yeah. You're humble too, but you've been here doing it a long time, doing a great job, Mike. I know we have worked together. Thanks for being on the program. It's been a while since we chatted. I got your book right beside me, so I'll pump that again, Inside Montana Politics. It's getting a little bit old now, Mike. I want you to get a new one out there for us, if you would, please. But, you know, you're retired or semi-retired, but nobody can let you go because you just know so much. And you just have so much, for us, I think. And so thanks for coming on today. Let's start with the verdict yesterday. What do you think?
As far as the verdict and what happened in the trial there, I mean, I don't think I'm really one to comment on that because I've covered lots of trials and I think that, the jury was there. They decided what they decided. I'm not going to criticize them one way or the other. Yeah. I'm more interested in how that verdict is going to affect Mr. Trump and his electoral efforts and also how it may affect, races here in Montana and people who are all in and associated himself with the president. What's going to happen? I think that's kind of the question, is whether this is going to be a harmful thing for him and his supporters or not. And I think the polling has shown in lots of polls around the country that, it's probably not going to be a positive thing. I mean, Mr. Trump and his allies say it's going to bring out their base and ultimately help them. Yeah, I have a hard time believing that being a convicted felon is really going to be helpful for someone on the ballot.
Yeah, and I can understand that position. I feel, though, it's a totality of things. This was just one verdict, so to speak. But I think people are going back to, the Steele dossier, the Russia collusion story, this phone call impeachment. Some of these abuses, I think, of this ruling class, they're more numerous than just this one verdict. So for me, I heard you comment on that last night, and I was thinking that it could be, because when you tie your wagon to somebody who's tied to a hitching post, so to speak, you're not going very far. So it'd be interesting to see how that plays out.
It will be. I think the thing to look at is, the people who are committed Republicans, committed conservatives, committed Trump supporters, it's not going to affect them. I think what you have to look at, though, are if you want to win a race in Montana, a close race in Montana, or in these other states that are battleground states, you're going to have to appeal to independent voters. I think those are the ones you have to worry about if you're Donald Trump.
Yeah. Yeah. Are people still buying elections in Montana? Loaded question. Loaded question. I guess the background is that
with campaign money. Well, yes. Certainly, money is. I wouldn't say it's a deciding factor, but it's an important factor. I mean, if you have a lot of money and you can get your name out there, it's to your advantage. But as we've seen, when Governor Bullock ran against Senator Daines 4 years ago, Governor Bullock outspent Senator Daines and also. you know, he was actually having trouble finding places to spend all the money he had in the closing weeks of the election, and he still lost by 10 points. So, you know, money is not always the guy who has the most money doesn't win all the time.
And that's refreshing too, but it is quite an advantage in politics. So, and that's a lead into the enormous amount of money I think that we're going to see spent in Montana in this Tester Sheehy race, if it comes out. Now, Brad Johnson, you know, he's still on the ballot for June 4th
right.
as well, but everybody is just assuming this is going to be the card. And boy, I just can't fathom that amount of money being spent in Montana, actually.
Yeah, it's astounding. There's already, I'm being told, there's already $75 million of TV time booked from Labor Day until Election Day in Montana, and that race alone may be a $200 million race, and that's just a stunning amount of money for a race. And they're fighting over a very small sector of the electorate. I mean, I'm guessing that probably 80 to 85% of voters have probably already decided how they're going to vote in this race. So that money is directed at that 15%, and also it's directed at getting turnout, each side getting their supporters to turn out and vote. But yeah, it's going to be just a waterfall doesn't even begin to describe it. It's more like it's like Angel Falls in Venezuela in 2,000 feet. It's just like it's the hugest waterfall you've ever seen of money in a campaign in Montana, and we don't really know what that's going to look like yet. But you're going to see ads like from just constantly, and hear them and stuff in the mail, etc.
Yeah, and that was my next question. National attention. Very much the national focus here. How does that change how the public's going to be able to make their decision on this? Or how does that change or affect the way the candidates are going to campaign? What maybe can we expect to see with that kind of attention?
Well, as you mentioned, it's a national race. There's people from all over the country are giving money to both candidates, and it could be because this race could control decide who controls the U.S. Senate in terms of party control. They could beat Tester. Republicans beat Tester. They're probably going to take control of the U.S. Senate. But the thing that kind of concerns me, just as a Montana citizen and a voter, is that there's all kinds of things that concerns of Montanans right now, and you kind of wonder whether those are really going to be addressed in this race. I mean, all we see now are these ads about the southern border and China, all kind of these emotional wedge issues. What about the day-to-day things that affect Montana's jobs and their livelihood? I don't know how much attention that's going to get, and that's too bad if it doesn't.
And some candidates are recognizing that as well. All races are local, so to speak, and they're trying to talk about how they can affect property taxes or the rising cost. Those issues at the national level, don't they always kind of play out over the local issues?
Well, I think that the thing you mentioned, property taxes and affordable housing, how to find good daycare, things like that. I think those are tend to be more local issues decided by state races, but they can be national too. I mean, there can be a national policy set to affect those things. I guess I haven't heard a lot of talk about that yet. I think we may see that more as the campaign unfolds and talking more about, care for veterans, for instance, or family assistance or energy policy, things like that affect Montana and Montana's jobs. I hope we'll see more of that as that particular race unfolds.
Those things really at the heart of the legislative races as well. We have Nonstop Local political analyst Mike Dennison with us here, author of Inside Montana Politics, worked for MTN Network as the chief capital correspondent for,
six and a half years.
Yeah. It says here for 3 decades you've been doing this, and I guess you got to own it because that's the truth. You've been around a long time. Reporter for Lee Newspaper, started off in Great Falls as a political reporter too. Into these legislative races, I've not talked a ton about it here, but there are some really interesting local primaries that are going to shape some of these divisions that are in the Republican Party, and it's going to certainly shape the legislature overall. What do you, what catches your eye in those races?
Well, you're exactly correct. The primary elections in Montana for the legislature, I think, really kind of decide who controls the legislature, because we have we know the Republicans are going to be in majorities next legislature. Democrats are not going to erase these huge majorities that Republicans have. So what really matters is what type of majority is that? We have 42 contested Republican primaries in the state, in the House and the Senate. So that's like, that's basically a third of the races. And in a lot of those races, you have a more conservative Republican running against a perhaps somewhat less conservative Republican. And I'd say probably that's the case in probably about at least half of those races. There's an organized effort on both sides to try to determine who wins and whether it's going to have a more conservative majority or maybe a more less so one that may work with Democrats sometime on certain issues. And so that's, you know, that's what's going on out there.
Isn't there one race, I should have it in front of me here, I don't, but I think where there are actually three Republicans running in one primary for a House.
Three well-known Republicans. I think you're talking about the race that has Scott Sales and
Caleb Hinkle and...
And Jennifer Carlson.
Jennifer Carlson, yes, yeah.
Caleb Hinkle and Carlson, who are current representatives, and then Sales, who used to be the Speaker of the House. They're all running against each other in a race, and that one, I think, is not really... I don't think that's really kind of what we described. You know, they're kind of conservative versus less conservative. That's just kind of a free-for-all, a bunch of pretty conservative guys and gals. And one, I think, though, that's nearby that race, nearby that area, is one between Representative Jane Gillette, who's from the Bozeman area, and also Kyle McMurray, another Republican. You know, they've raised more than $100,000 for that primary, and that's a very... Hard to contest a primary with Governor Gianforte actually endorsing McMurray over the incumbent.
Really?
Gillette.
Ah.
Oh, yeah. In fact, in most races where there is a division between the conservative versus less conservative, Gianforte has endorsed the less conservative candidate or the Solutions Caucus candidate in most of those races where he's chosen between two Republicans in the primary.
Wow. How do you think that will sit?
Well, I'm not sure what's going on there because, you know, I didn't cover the last legislature and I haven't spoken a lot with the Gianforte camp.
Yeah.
So I'm not really certain, but I think for whatever reason, Governor Gianforte has decided he wants to work more with these some of these Solution Caucus people on certain issues. That's all I can really deduce from that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's politics too, isn't it?
Yeah.
Do you want to hit the Supreme Court races? I got a breakup coming here. This Eastern District Congressional GOP is pretty crowded. We'll get a note on there too. But I think a Supreme Court with two openings, that's a real interesting, opportunity, I think, for conservatives, I guess. I mean, we don't want to talk about conservatives and liberalism when it comes to our court races, but it's very much front and center nowadays.
Oh, it's a reality. Yeah. I'd say behind the U.S. Senate race, the Supreme Court races, I think, are probably the second most important races in the state.
Yeah, thank you.
In terms of determining what's going to happen in the state, because there's two open seats. You know, one of them is Chief Justice Mike McGrath and Dirk Sandifer, who are I wouldn't call them liberal justices, but they're not super duper conservative either. They're kind of, I'd say, maybe a little bit left of center, but you know, if the conservatives can win both of those seats, that will change the makeup of the court. And we don't really know how that's going to be manifested. But I'm pretty sure it will, because we have, you know, Republicans are supporting the candidates in each of those races.
Mm-hmm.
And as are Democrats, and the legal community is more behind some of these people, too, the ones that are not supported by the conservatives.
Mike Dennison is with us here, a reporter, a longtime journalist, and doing some work now, nonstop local political analyst. Mike, you guys are doing a show on Sundays?
That's right, Sunday morning, 9 o'clock.
What's it about?
All the ABC
politics?
Fox Station. Yeah, it's just called Nonstop Local Montana Politics, and we kind of review what's happened during the week and maybe have an original story or two, and then I come on and talk with Bradley Warren for a few minutes, just kind of analyzing the week's happenings and kind of looking ahead and what's coming down the pike.
Yep, I have caught it. It's a good show, Mike. I appreciate that. Let's go back into the Supreme Court race. I want to make sure we cover the value of it a little more deeply. And As you noted, the value of it could definitely direct this court a little bit. And I don't really know if I have an interesting question. I just feel like this current Supreme Court has been at odds with the legislative branch for a while. I think it needs a bit of a shakeup in my mind.
Well, it struck down a lot of laws that the legislators have passed on restricting abortion, on guns on campus, and on some transgender issues. There's some other things out there too. And the Republicans have been very critical of this court, saying it's a court out of control, et cetera, et cetera. And I don't know if I agree with that. I mean, I think there are problems more with our Constitution than the court. But nonetheless, the Supreme Court races, let's take one for Chief Justice. We have it's an open seat. We have Jeremiah Lynch from Missoula, Corey Swanson, the Bridgewater County attorney in Townsend, the Republican county attorney. And then we also have Doug Marshall, an attorney from the Bozeman area. And the race is primarily between Lynch and Swanson. Lynch has a lot of support from the legal community and Democrats. Swanson is getting support from Republicans. And the other race is an open seat. Dirk Sandifer is leaving, Justice Sandifer. And that race features Dan Wilson, a district judge from Kalispell, Catherine Bidigary, another district judge from Eastern Montana, and Gary O'Neill, former state senator from Kalispell, who's not an attorney. But Wilson and Bidigary are the people who have been campaigning the hardest, probably between them. They'll probably advance from the primary to the general election. And Wilson is the one who's supported by Republicans. Bidigary is supported by more people in the legal community and Democrats. And that's kind of the way that shakes out.
Well, and I think, honestly, that helps people be informed about who these candidates are, because in a race like the Supreme Court, every answer to any question is, well, I really can't comment on that, but, you know.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it is hard to determine just what people really stand for, but I think that once the general election gets into play, we'll have a lot more definition and a lot more campaigning. Although any race below the U.S. Senate race, that's just sucking all the money and air out of the political vacuum. So all these races down ticket that are pretty important, it's going to be hard for voters to get information on those, I think.
Yeah, those candidates are going to have to run hard, run smart too. And we'll do our best here. Again, Mike Dennison is with us here, nonstop local political analyst, currently and a longtime political journalist in Montana. That Eastern congressional race, we spent a lot of time getting candidates on the air there because there are a lot of candidates in that race. I don't think you might recall races that have been that crowded. What's your take on this one?
Honestly, I can't recall one that's been this crowded. I mean, we have 13 candidates on the ballot, 9 Republicans, one of whom has suspended his campaign, Ed Walker, and 4 Democrats. But, I mean, let's be honest, the winner of the Republican primary is probably going to be that district's next congressperson, because the district is leaning so much Republican, and that's where all the big money is being spent. I mean, we have Danny Reber, Troy Downing, Elsie Aronson, who've put substantial amounts of their own money into the race.
Yeah.
And we have a bunch of other people running it. The other interesting person there, I think, is probably Joel Crowder, attorney from Billings, who has kind of staked out himself, said, I'm the moderate in this race. And he's actually actively courted and gotten endorsements from union labor and even from some Democrats, saying people should cross over and vote for him in the primary, because whoever wins that primary is going to be the next congressperson. Yeah. So I don't know if a dark horse like that can really come out of this fold against 3 people who are spending lots of money and have name recognition. But we'll find out. Because with 9 candidates on the ballot, the person who wins doesn't have to have a big percentage to win.
What will it tell these other candidates, Mike, that, where they line up in this list, so to speak? What will that tell them?
What will that tell who?
The losers in this race. So, for their future careers, because there's a number of them here that are running in this race. I think, grow that name recognition and get that experience as well. And so the numbers that they get on June 4th, what's it going to tell them?
I don't know. That's a good question. I hadn't thought about that, because I think you're right. Some of these people are kind of getting in there and testing the waters and seeing how much traction they can get. And from here, where do they go? I mean, do they mean to they can't, if they lose this race, you know, I don't think they're going to run again for Congress. They could, run for the legislature. They could run for statewide office. And I don't know what happens to, I think Troy Downing is, I don't know if this is the end of
no,
the term.
No, he would have another term. And this is his first term.
He would. Okay. Yeah. All right. So, yeah. Of course, Arnson, she's out as head of the superintendent of schools. And so she loses, then, she had nothing to run more to run for above that. That's a good question. I guess I don't know what to say about where they may go, but some people certainly are testing the waters.
Yeah. And I should clarify, Troy has said he's not running for that auditor's position. So it is an open position, but I don't think he's term limited there.
That's right. Yeah, he was elected in 2020. Yeah. So he's choosing to run for this, and that's, it's all or nothing.
Constitutional initiatives. Let's get a blast out there. I got about a minute and a half here.
Okay. Well, we have two things trying to get on the ballot here, essentially. Abortion rights and then also some election reforms that would create an open primary, which is a difficult thing to explain. But both of these efforts have substantial money behind them. Each of them have $3 to $4 million already being spent on trying to get them on the ballot.
Wow.
And it's a lot of signatures that you have to get. And you have to get them spread out over the state. You can't just get them all in Missoula or Bozeman or Billings. And so we won't know until probably early July, mid-July. The signatures are due the 21st, then they have to verify them. And we have no idea how much they've gathered because they don't turn them in to the last minute.
Well, yeah, is it surprising to you? Like you said, $3 to $4 million already spent on these initiatives. I don't hear that often.
Well, yeah, they're very well organized, and like abortion rights. That's going to get money from all over the country from abortion rights people and groups. And the other thing, same thing with the election reforms. There are groups around the country that support this type of reforms to try to create what they think is going to create a more moderate government and have less extreme people getting elected. And they put a lot of money into this effort. One group I think has poured more than $1 million into our campaign here in Montana.
Yeah. So it's all real interesting and it's fun. Actually, it'll inform us an awful lot. In 30 seconds, Mike, what do you think people should take away come June 4th?
Well, on June 4th, I think to take a look at what happens in a lot of these Republican primaries. I think that's the thing to watch. At the legislature and also at Eastern District race, those are the things that I really care about. And as far as what it really indicates, I don't really know. We'll have to find out afterwards, who wins. But that's where the action is in this primary.
Yeah, because you've covered it so often and so long, you get those questions. So how's this going to turn out, Mike? Hey, thanks. Thanks for that, too. And again, look for that Sunday program, 9 a.m. nonstop, local political analyst Mike Dennison. Have a good summer, too, Mike. You're still retired.
That's right. Yeah, thanks for having me, Tom. I appreciate it.
Thanks again for joining us for the podcast. Please share and subscribe and let us know what you think. Email me at tom@voicesofmontana.com. And don't forget, we're on weekdays on your hometown radio stations all across Montana. We hope to hear from you there, too.